History Project. The interview is being conducted by Darlene Young on July 14, 1979. The interviewee is Mrs. Delilah Adams of Route 1, Louisa. The interview is taking place in her home. The subject to be discussed is the early life that she lived with her parents and also what she remembers throughout her lifetime. Mrs. Adams, could you tell me the name of your father?
Harrison J. Shannon.
And what was his age? When was he born?
He was born in 1841, was it?
And did he, was he born in Lawrence County?
Yes, he was born in Lawrence County, right across the river.
And across the river, you mean Gallup?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, he married then after the Civil War, you told
me.
He went to Illinois.
Yes.
And what was his wife's name?
Eliza Bailey.
And she had how many children?
Well, would that be in all now?
In all.
Well, my parents had six buried over there, and he raised six and one dead in Illinois. That'd be 13 women.
Yes.
Am I right?
All right. Then she had 13 children. Of the ones that lived in Lawrence County, could you name them?
Yeah.
All right.
That was Jim, Becky, John. Was Harv older than Harv? Said that, but well, that would make a difference.
That's all right.
Well, then Jim and Becky and Harv and John and Bill and Sherry.
All right. And Sherry was the younger.
Sherry.
And Harv was the oldest.
No, Jim was the oldest. Jim and Becky, the third, they only had one girl. She was the second. And then Harv, then John, and then Bill, and then Sherrod. Sherrod was the baby.
All right, this was your father's first family.
Yeah, that was his first family.
All right, then he married your mother.
When she died, his wife died in 1885.
In Lawrence County.
In Lawrence County.
All right, then he married your mother, and what was her name?
Her name was Sarah Cox Compton. She had been married before. She married George Compton in the first place, and they had three children.
And he died?
Yeah.
And he died. And then she married your father.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the year that they
married? I think that is, as well as I remember, it was 1888.
1888. Mm-hmm. All right, after they married, how many was in your immediate family?
Three.
Three. And what were their names?
Emmy, Jeff, and Lyle. Delilah.
And that's you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Could you tell me their ages, like when they were born?
Emmy was born February 6, 1890. Jeff was born June 17, 1893. And Delilah was born September 27, 1896.
Mm-hmm. And you lived at Gallup all your young life?
Yes.
All right. And when you lived at Gallup,
I guess so. Of course, the changes, you know, the changes, but this grew up right in here. We called it Louisa then. We lived in Louisa, you know. Of course, it was born and raised right here, but it always went Gallup, you know, which always had our address, you know, when they lived in Gallup.
Mm-hmm.
But then they changed it, you see, and put the rural route in. And then get Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got our mail at Gallup.
Now, do you mean that this farm that we're taping this on, was this your father's farm?
Yeah.
This was your original home?
This was mine and hers, but she was born across the river. See, my daddy owned his, he got his home place across the river. He part of it, you know. And his house burned over there, and he sold out the other GM channel. And he bought this off of Jewel Patrick.
All right. And
part of the Jared farm.
This is part of the old original Jared farm. All right. This is on 23, which sometimes it's called Mayo Trail.
Yeah.
Too. How many acres are in this particular farm on this side of the river?
Well, I really don't know how many acres. You mean what he owned in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how many there were in it in the first place, but he owned all this up and had the holler, you know, and this crossed the road here. And the line went right up the hill, back where Bill Shannon lived over the on the Lee Creek and all this big bottom down here, all this through here. I guess he almost owned 500 acres. And
did he build this particular house? It,
no, we built this house. No,
we just had a little box house for the outhouse and he just took over the room.
And just brought it from the, just brought it from the mill and never seen it or nothing, you know.
When it dried out, they did crack that, right?
Was it, it wasn't a log house then?
No,
it was
just a box house in other quarters.
Mrs. Adams' sister, Mrs. Emma Foster, is here with us, and she is helping Mrs. Adams with some of the information. Mrs. Adams, getting back to your family, what is your main remembrance of your father? What was his occupation?
Farming. Logging.
And logging. Did you, on this farm, raise most of the things that you use as to food? And
yes.
What type of farming did he do?
He just raised, he didn't raise anything for sale. He just raised enough for his family, and he logged timber. Cut it, he'd cut the logs and put them in the river and float them to Cattlesburg and sell it, you know. Mm-hmm. And they called it rafting, you know. They'd have what they call dog chains and poles and nail the logs together, you know, and run them to Cattlesburg.
Did he make a good living that way?
Well, he kept us. Well, we lived, he survived.
He had a large family, so evidently he
did. Of course, he made his own license, and he had his own house, and he had our own mill, and he bought flour, of course. He had to buy the flour, you know.
$1.50
And a barrel of salt for
$0.75
Just
$0.75
As young children, did you both work in the garden, do the hoeing?
Yeah, Amy worked in the house, and I didn't do very much of anything. I was kind of lazy.
Yes, I worked in the garden.
I thought Mommy did it in the garden.
Did you use mules and horses to plow?
I only had one horse I used, and I plowed.
Did you have a big garden spot?
Yes, same one we got out.
And then I plowed across the whole the wood yard out there, and planted beans, and fenced it. Took the little strips, you know, and fenced it to keep the chickens out. And we raised all the pretty beans out there.
When you all raised all this food and you prepared it for the winter, did you help with the canning?
Oh, we'd pick the berries and peel apples and string beans and so on like that. Of course, I guess that was help, but our mother done the bossing of it, you know, mostly.
Did she dry beans or did she?
Yes, yeah, she dried beans and dried corn.
Pumpkin, cushion.
So you ate well because you had all the things.
Raise your own soup beans or whatever.
We just had something else. Somebody with us all.
Was it like relatives or was it just friends?
Just anybody come along?
Anybody did. Taste the room.
Well, it about meal time.
He'd say, did I come in and stay all night or did I come in and
eat your dinner?
And they come.
Yeah. And my daddy would kill his own meat every year, and I've known him to kill the size 14 hogs a year. And then my mother would get up in the morning on Sunday morning and maybe not know she was going to have any company at all. Maybe for dinner she'd have 40. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound reasonable, does it?
No, but I've heard other people say that that was 40.
And it seemed like it was just as easy for her to cook for 40 as it was for
the family.
Yeah.
How did he fix the meat? Did he
salted it down and smoked it?
Then smoked it. Well,
he let the meat cool out. Keep it overnight. Just spread that, you know, lay cool. Then the next day, he'd go and salt it. He'd put a layer of salt and then he'd eat on top of it. And he'd salt that meat down. And when he had painted up, and they take chips and put in an old kettle and build a fire and smoke.
Did y'all have a smokehouse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had my mother make sausage, and oh, we have the best sausage ever. She'd have a children make hoops, you know, about that long base, and stuff that full of sausage.
And hang that up and
I'd have hang it up like the meat and smoke, and that was the best.
Then a lot of pieces. When we wanted a piece of sausage, we'd just go in the smokehouse and cut off a piece of sausage.
Mm-hmm. I never tasted none. Ever tasted like what she had.
And us kids would go in the smokehouse and cut down the raw meat where it'd be smoked, and it cuts off a piece of that side bacon and stuff. And eat it raw and onions, oh, cornbread. Now, you know, people say, oh, that's dangerous to the kids. But
salt preserved it, though.
Yeah. Now, we done that all our lives, and we was healthy. But we get hungry if we like it. We just go in and cut us off a slice of meat and use an onion and a piece of cornbread. Salt.
What kind of fruit did y'all have? Did you have your fruit tree?
We never did have too much fruit on it. We had the peaches, several peaches, but we never did have too much anything else of fruit. Our apple trees never did do much good here.
Y'all pretty much ain't nothing.
We had that whole hill there in the outside of the barn, but they never did do much.
Since you were close to the river, did you fish?
The boys
would fish.
Did you eat a lot of fish?
Well, we eat them when they got them, but then they didn't. We didn't always have them. We always eat what we got. Mm-hmm. We all like fish. Most of us did.
You know, now they say that the water is so polluted that it's dangerous to eat the fish, and I'm sure back in those days
you get good fish then, but now, you know, you can fry a skillet of fish and ruin the whole thing because it's got oil and it tastes like oil, you know. Mm-hmm. That's throw the whole thing out. Yeah, I've almost turned against the river fish, but you can tell as much difference in a river fish and a lake fish as if it wasn't fish.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you sure can.
But, now the boys, they live in Florida, you know, they fish an awful lot, my boys do, and they fish an awful lot down there, and they scallop, they get their own scallops and their own oysters. And now, you know, people are eating oysters raw, slaughtering public.
Yeah. You don't like that.
No.
Tell me something about the neighborhood. Like, was it populated a whole lot around here?
No, it wasn't particularly populated.
Who was your closest neighbors?
Our closest neighbors was who lived in this stone house when we was kids down here? Well, I guess they were our closest neighbors then, but that didn't belong to them. It belonged to the Jareds then.
It belonged to Jareds.
In the stone house, where Dr. Burgess lives now.
Billy and Lizzie lived back first. Then Bascom Mines and Mary Liz lived there.
But yet that belonged to Jareds at that time.
And then they, I think they sold it then to
Bea Preston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Bea Preston was our neighbor for a long time, and he sold out to Phil Priest, and then Phil Priest sold to I believe he sold to Dr. Burgess, and Dr. Burgess swapped it to Malcolm for that across the river. Malcolm had a farm across the river.
Well, the McClure's had something
different. Well, Liz
McClure's mother was a dad.
We don't want Liz Jarrett's daughter. But then the McClure's never did live there.
No. After his mother died, he burned parts that they had in the house.
Who was your neighbors on the other side of you?
Well, the closest was Green Patrick.
When you were small, did you have any neighbors that you played with? Did they have any children?
Our uncle, we always played with their children, Bennett Cox and his wife. Still, there was Bennett was my mother, was our mother's brother, and their mother was Becky, was our half sister.
And we all played with them children. And then they was different children we played with a whole lot. You know, there was Thompson's across the hill. And there was some Thompson's over there we played with. And they visited us, not too much, but.
What did you do? Did you just walk back and forth?
Oh, yeah. And or ride horseback, you know. Or if the family went in a wagon or buggy.
What kind of games did you play?
Mostly bass and ain't me over. Yeah, that's about all that we played now was bass and ain't me over. And that was a great game at school, was bass one.
And me and Becky Jarrett was the famous drummer in school at my age, you see. And picking on that.
Beck Jarrett and me were about the same age, and we was off-pace runners. And the captains of the base, team would get in a quarrel which one was going to take us, you know. They'd choose us, you know. And boy, I don't see why we didn't break our necks from like we did, no then. That, and the old schoolhouse sat down there. There was an awful hill there, and the dirt had fell out from under them bushes till the roots was a shining. And it's just straight up and down there. And we'd get in there and run and hide from the fan base. And I don't see why in the world we didn't fall right there next.
What was the name of the school?
That was the Jarrett School I'm telling you about. For when we had school when we was little, they moved it up here, you know, then.
In those days, how many miles was it from your house?
Well, when I was little, first started school, I guess it was 2 miles to walk, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Down that Burton place, you know, down where Roberts lived.
And then they moved it
up here on the trail.
Did you go to it when it was moved, or was that after?
Oh, yes. That's when we was talking about, such a much, so much bass playing, you know. And the boys would play, they played baseball sometimes. And, they moved the schoolhouse up there. Then we moved out of this old house, you know. We had school in this old house I was telling you about down here. Till they moved the schoolhouse up to the roads, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went in the schoolhouse. And we had all the grades, you know. And we'd have, it's just a little two-room school, and we'd have as high as 85 in that schoolroom.
That was a lot of children.
Yeah. Now I said they can't stand the legs. I said they can't have one grade.
Mm. That would be something. Who was your first teacher?
My first teacher was Susie Cheeky, Bill Cheek's mother.
Mm-hmm.
That was, who was yours? I don't know who yours was.
Who's McClure?
Miss McClure. Then after you had. Susie, who did you have next?
Well, let me study.
Was this up to the eighth grade?
Mm-hmm. Jefferson Skeens.
So you had those two in grade school?
That was my, and then the next one was Lige Rice. And the next one was Sheridan Dobbins. And the next one was Otto Garten. And now that's my teachers. And the next one was Dave, my husband.
You never went to your husband, huh?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was, I was in the eighth grade.
Did you go to school in Louisiana?
No. No, I was promoted, but I never did go.
Did you get married soon?
It was hard to 17 when I married.
Did he continue to teach them?
He taught for a few years, but he only got, you know, $45 a month. And the other things he could make more money at. And he went to public works, you know, he worked. And then he got sick, you know, and had to quit work. And then Bill Cheek put him teaching. You know, teachers were so scarce. Till he got in a little bit of school and got in a little bit of a pension, you know, before he died. He taught. So few years, but anyway, he got a little pension. I forget just how many years till he got so disabled he couldn't teach.
What do you remember the that was the most entertaining as a child? What did you enjoy doing the most?
Well, getting out and playing with the best kids. I reckon all I could. That's when we didn't know nothing else in Ireland. And I was a great big girl before I ever went to Louisy. I guess I was 10 years old before I went to Louisy.
That would have been about when?
Oh, I wasn't that old. I don't guess. It must have been about, she was born in 96, and I guess I was about 8 when I went the first time I was ever.
So around the turn of the century, you went to Louisy?
Yeah. Well, and I went in a wagon.
How long did it take you to go from here to Louisy?
Well, I don't remember just how long, but I guess it took every bit of 2.5 hours.
The roads were real bad.
Oh, yes, they were real bad. And I had to go in a wagon or a buggy or horseback. I went a many time horseback and took my buggy and my horseback to John Jeans' livery stable, you know, and hooked it up.
What was the most outstanding thing that you can remember about Louisa? Was it the mud in the streets or what was it?
Yeah, mud in the streets. Oh, it was bad. Get stuck sometimes with the wagon in the streets.
How often did you get to go?
Well, now, that was after I was married that I done that going to Louisa, you know. But we hauled, Dave worked his team on the rail, on the public works, you know, on the roads. And I would haul his feed for his team to go to town and get a load of feed and haul it, you know. After we had the family of our own, of course, Dave worked all the time, and I did most of the farming, and as long as he had work, you know, and I would go take the team and go to Louisiana and get him a load of feed and bring it out rather than him to lay off, you know, and go to Louisiana and get it. And I've tied many a day, and I've done everything I reckon in the world except save fodder. I never saved no fodder, but I've raised coal. And I've worked, and so I've raised lots of enough ground at one time for 5 bushels of soybeans. I get the team and go up the hill and haul my own wood.
So you were just really a jack of all trades.
A jack of all trades.
What do you remember being the hardest to do as a child? What did you miss?
Well, I don't really feel like I missed anything.
You felt like your childhood was just really
good. I've also said it many times. I've heard people chastise their parents for doing this and that and the other. We was raised honest, and we was raised poor, and we was raised decent. And we was raised just as honest as anybody could ever raise a family. And I'm proud of my raising. Mm-hmm. I've not got anything against my father and mother, really. They done the best they could, and they taught us good. They always taught us right from wrong, and I've not got anything to say about it.
Well, all kinds of people.
They did all this particular world who we went with.
What did you do when you say before you married Mr. Adams? Were you allowed to go out on dates?
Well, we had to have somebody with us, and it had to be very particular. And if we went to church of a night, we had to have somebody that's married go on with us.
How old were you when you were allowed to do that?
I guess I was 14 or 15 forever I was allowed to do that. And I guess Amy's older than that, wasn't you?
I was that old anyway.
When you went with some boys, was it mostly to church?
Yeah. But we did not like the children of today. We didn't want to get out and hide and sit around and do like that.
If our brothers would tell our daddy that they'd go with us or stay with us, we'd go.
Well, they never ought to let us go that way. You'd have to have somebody married with us. Mm-hmm. I don't know, one time, Sissy Gibson and me, that was my cousin, she was going with a man she did marry, and they let us go to church with them, with with her brother and my brother, Brother Jeff. And, Will Gibson was with her, and I was with Dave C. And they took a notion to go up the holler and take another girl away from her brother, her smaller brother, you know. And we tried to keep them from going and leaving us by ourselves, and it was nice. We know what we'd get when we got home, and we scared state. Well,
they went in spite of us and said, we wouldn't say, just come out and say, you ain't going to leave us with these boys for ourselves, you know. Well, they went in spite of us. Well, we turned the boys back. And we didn't dare to let ourselves be known to her father. We was going to stay at her, I was going to stay at her, you know. But we didn't dare to let ourselves be known to her father and mother till they come, because they were the laxest both, I guess. But when the boys come and we went to the house, we was on to them about leaving us, you know, and with them boys for themselves. And they said they didn't think anything about it. But we never did tell it. We never did tell her parents. I don't guess they ever did know it.
So you knew that your parents expected certain behavior.
Oh, and we expected to do what our parents said to.
You didn't ask any questions or complain or anything?
No, sir. And our daddy was worse than our mother. But our mother was always sick. When we started any place, he'd say, now, children, such and such a person ain't fit for you to associate with. Now, it's better to have the goodwill of a dog than the ill will. You speak in peace and don't mistreat them, but don't you be caught in their company. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the way we was raised. Mm-hmm. But now, anymore, the trashiest kind you can get.
Yeah, that's good. Did you go on picnics and hay rides and things like that?
Well, I can't recall that. Can you, any? Yeah. No, we didn't want to do things like that.
It was mostly just a
church.
Mostly
just a gang of children in the country would get together, and we'd, like I said, we'd play base and play ball. We called it ankle, you know, throwing ball over the house, you know, and run and catch them in a certain place, you know, and hit them with the ball, you know. We called that ankle. Did you ever play ankle?
No, I don't think I have.
Well, we'd get a ball, you know, that was a great game for us, you know. And a bunch get on this side of the house, and a bunch get on that side, and throw the ball over, and they'd have to catch it, you know. And they caught it. If they could get around and catch it, it means you could catch while they get you on their side. And the one that caught the most, you know, would win the game. Mm-hmm. And now, quick, you should
name the church that you went to.
Yo, Kids Chapel.
Oh, really? Where was it located?
Oh, Ron McCree. It's an old log house, and it was, on that church, and the brick church. Now, we went a lot to this brick church up here at Jared's Sunday school. That's where most of us went to Sunday school, was up here at Jared's, at what's called a brick church, you know, Jared Chapel. But over there was we went more to church over there. They had church more often over there than they did up here, you know. And, but how come it called change? There's an old man, he's awful bad to hold his mouth open, and he's asleep. They told, am I telling it right, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you tell it then. Well, I didn't tell who it was. You see that now?
Just a minute. My tape's running out.